Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from earth on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the images of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his nation. That's it.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you. The number of his name. She is the number of man, 666. Hallelujah. And it's not the scary movie that used to be on. Do you remember that? Back in the 70s, I think 80s, they made a movie, didn't they? Damien was his name, wasn't it? Something like that. It's far worse than that. Hallelujah. So, just a little recap on what we're going through. The book of Revelation, we got to chapter 13 last week. And then it starts talking all this strange language about this beast rising up out of the sea. And we learned that the sea, in Revelation 17:5, the angel tells John the Revelator that the sea represents a people. And that this beast system rises up and begins to dominate. And out of this beast system comes 10 kings. And out of the 10 kings comes one small king who seems quite insignificant to begin with. And then he dominates three of the kings and actually leads this confederation and leads that begins to lead the whole world against God. Those, it says, who haven't got their names written in the book of the Lamb. If there's one thing you need to be sure of as a born-again Christian, is that you are born again. And that means that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And if anyone says you can't lose your salvation, ignore them. Because in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, you know, he's giving instructions to the church, carry on doing this, don't do this, carry on doing this. But at one point he says this, if you do not repent, I'll blot out your name from the book of life. That to me means there's no recovery. And what it's like a demonic doctrine, that is, because what that does, it feeds false doctrine into people's minds to think that grace is cheap and that we can ignore the direction and the warning of God in our lives. And God isn't a harsh father. He's a caring, compassionate father. But he's also a just judge. Amen? So we don't want to get on the wrong side of him. You know, I lived, 30 years, 25 years on the wrong side of him. Didn't pay me anything. Hallelujah. And then he come and rescued me and put me on the right side of him. Amen. Hallelujah. like he does us all. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to go through this. There's 8 verses, I think. Could I have the first slide up, please? Thank you, Joan. So this beast, this second beast, we've had this first beast, which represents this world system that rises up, which is already here. Okay? So what's being spoken of in the book of Revelation is the days that we are living in now. Okay? And it says that he saw a beast, a second beast, rising up out of the earth. Now, the last one came out of the sea, so it came out of a chaotic ocean, and it came out of chaos amongst nations. But this one comes from a place of stability, comes from the earth. I think it was in Jeremiah, he said that he puts the earth as boundaries to stop the oceans. And so you have a contrast there between the stormy seas and where the Lord has put the earth and said no further. The sea is constantly moving about. People are constantly moving about. But the earth is still. And so we have that contrast. So these two beasts are going to seem like a bit of a contrast. One's going to rise up out of chaos. One's going to rise up out of stability. And the second one will follow the first one. Hallelujah. And the two horns on it, we are told in Revelation and Daniel that these represent authority and power. And so this one we know is going to be a religious order, because in 19, I think Revelation 19, it talks about the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. And that's who chapter 13 is always talking about, the beast, the dragon, which is the Satan, and the false prophet. So we have to be discerning in these days, okay? So this is going to be the second system that's coming out of stability is going to be a religious order. And it's going to be led by a false prophet. And the dragon, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, is going to give this false prophet power and authority to work wonders. But they're going to be deceiving wonders. Okay? They're not going to be like the wonders of our God. So what you have to understand is there is a power out there. There is a power. Satan does have a power that works against God. But we flow in the power that serves God. Amen?
Amen.
Which comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's where we want to remain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I forgot to mention Daniel 7:24 is where it talks about the two horns and what they represent. So all this imagery spoken of in chapter 13 might sound, what the heck is going on there? But if you read the scriptures closely, it tells you. That's all you got to do is just keep reading, asking Holy Spirit for guidance, and begin to discern what the Spirit is saying through the scriptures. Amen. Now, the other thing is this. The false prophet in Revelation 16:13, I'll just go through those scriptures. It says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of a dragon. That's Satan. Frogs always represent witchcraft. Okay? So if you remember, the land of Egypt was covered with frogs during that time. Because God was cursing them with the power that they relied on. Okay? If you remember the Emperor Nero in the first and second century AD, he did witchcraft, and what they did was they impregnated him, the wizards and the warlocks did, with a frog. And that frog grew up inside of him, and he birthed it out of his mouth. This is true. You can read in the history books. And so what Nero did, he was a lunatic. He was crazy. He really persecuted Christians. He used to set them on fire and use them as lights on poles at night. He was deranged. And what he did was, he gave the Roman Empire to the frog. And he treated it like his child. It was the heir of his throne. And if anybody ever spoke against a frog that he'd birthed out of his mouth, it would have them hung, drawn, and quartered. It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Anyway. Revelation 19:20 says, this is the great news, by the way, so just bear this in mind as we're listening to all this. The beast, the false prophet that deceived the whole earth, and the dragon were cast into the lake of fire, which burnt with brimstone forever and ever. Okay? And Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to get on to this. It looks like a lamb. The devil never comes as you expect him to. Okay? He's crafty. He's the best liar you will ever meet. He's been at it for thousands of years, long before we ever came along. So outside of Christ, we would get turned over. But when we step in Christ, he gets turned over. Amen? Because that's where our strength comes from. And the nature of this false prophet is deception. He's going to imitate Christ. He's going to put himself instead of Christ. He's not going to mouth off that he's against Christ. He's going to imitate him. It's going to be a projection of goodness. And so you will look at him, and people will look at this fellow, and they will say, he's a man of God. He's a man of God. But when he talks, those who are discerning will know the difference. Okay? And I would ask that you just keep concentrating on this, because if you miss this, you're going to get in trouble in the end times. And hopefully I won't be ill. I'll have been raptured. I do love you, but I don't want to be here in the wrath. Okay? Not now, not never. Hallelujah. The other thing you need to know about false prophets is they never look like false prophets. Okay? They look just like you and just like me. I hope you're not a false prophet. And the enemy never looks like the enemy, does he? He comes in with that whisper. Go do what you want. Live your life how you want to. And it satisfies the flesh. His words always satisfy our self-will. You know, it feels, I always say, you know, me and my friends used to say this whenever sort of we wandered into sin and said, oh yeah, it's like a creamy feeling comes over your brain and over your mind and over your soul, and it's like it just sedates you, you know? And so that you can't sense in your spirit what God is calling you to do and how God is calling you to live. And there's an entrapment there. And this I do believe this guy is here on earth. Absolutely, beyond shadow of a doubt. For the days that we are in, he is here. Okay? The scriptures say he will be revealed at some point. Okay? But he's here, as is the Antichrist as well. They're two different figures. The false prophet is religious. The Antichrist is political and economic as well. So we have to keep our hearts open to what the Holy Spirit is saying, learn to discern. Now then, just a side note is this, that if the church is raptured before the tribulation begins, that means 7 years. Three and a half years have got to pass before this guy is revealed. Okay? You try and do the maths with that. You think the state of this country in 3.5 years. I'm not saying like the tribulation's going to start in 3 years or 3.5. I mean 3 years. It could be 10 years. It could be 15 years. Nobody knows. But one thing we can be sure through the scriptures is we are close. And what we have to always bear in the back of our mind is this. Apart from every other prophecy that someone might keep, Jesus said this. The generation that is alive, that sees Israel become a nation again, will not pass before I come again. And that's our mark. So Israel became a nation in 1948, got its capital back in 1967. And so I heard it said once, and I fully agree with this, if you want to know the time clock of prophecy of where we're at in the world and the fulfillment of the scriptures, if you look at Israel as a big hand on the clock and Jerusalem as a little hand on the clock, and when they hit 12, it is going to kick off. Seriously. So, we have this strange prophet. And this prophet has to be against God, but he's going to put himself in the place of God. He's going to say he is God. Can anybody think of a prophet at the moment who does that? The nature of a prophet who does that? Think about it. So we're supposed to take the word. We're supposed to take the word and wait upon it. And wait upon it. And allow the Holy Spirit to begin to interpret the scriptures for us. And if we're on the walls watching, sentinels, that we will know the times that we're living in, and we'll be ready and waiting. And we'll be prepared in our hearts and minds. Amen. So this beast looks like a lamb, but it speaks like a dragon. Looks good, but when it starts speaking, it will be against Jesus. It will be against Yahweh. It will be against the Trinity. Think of a prophet who's against the Trinity at the moment. Speak to me after if you don't know. We'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Can I have the next slide, please, Joan? Are you still with me, church?
Yes.
Okay. So verse 12 says, he exercised, this prophet that came out, this false prophet, exercised all the authority of the first beast on behalf of the first beast, which is Satan, and it made all the inhabitants of the earth worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. So what's happened with the first beast? At some point during the as we lead into the tribulation, that this personal figure, this man, is going to get a head wound. People think it's a bullet. The Bible doesn't say that. It actually says with a sword, a battler's sword. That's how he's going to be wounded. Who uses swords in the nations today to wound heads? I haven't said that. But you've got to watch what's going on. Do you understand me? So the nature of the beast you can see around today. Yeah. All right? So that's what's going to happen. Is that this false prophet is going to get the whole world to worship the Antichrist and Satan. But how is he going to do it? How is he going to do that? Because you can't just go and force. People would rather even lose their life than worship if they know that it's idol worship. Verse 13 tells us, it says, and this false prophet performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from earth, from heaven to earth, in the full view of the people. So this guy is going to cause fire to come down. Whether that's supernatural or digital fire through AI, it's irrelevant, really. And again, we see this nature of imitation going on. So the Satan is imitating the power of God. Remember, Elijah called down fire? And it didn't just consume what was offered. It consumed all the water and all the wood. And it said, I love this because he was a Jamaican who wrote it. It says, and it licked up the grass. Brilliant, those. I love that. It licked up the grass. Yeah, I love that. So this guy is going to cause fire to come down that looks like the fire of Elijah. And if you remember, the first beast is going to kill the two witnesses who were prophesying out of Jerusalem, calling the world to repentance, and they're calling down fire as well. And the first beast goes and kills him, and then the second beast comes along and starts doing this fire, so that all the world is tricked, thinking, oh, he's slain the two witnesses and now he's producing fire. But his whole character is deception. And I guarantee you that will not be real fire. No way. And even if it is, he's got it from some dodgy place off the back of a wagon. Hallelujah. Satan is a deceiver. He's going to swap the real for the fake. Amen? Amen. I'm not glorifying Satan here. I'm trying to warn you to watch out for him. Okay? We must be warned. We must be alert. Okay? Because he comes to rob, steal, kill and destroy. You know? And he won't give you any mercy. So deception is key. Next next one, please, Joan. Next slide. So we've got the beast appearing, the role of the beast. Now the image, the role of the beast. Haven't you just put that one? Pardon? The thing hasn't been knocked out of the little box, has it? The USB hasn't been knocked out of the little box at the side. Yeah, it had. It's come back out again. Joseph, go and see if you can get that up, please. Thanks, son. Okay, I'm going to go on. It's the image of the beast, okay? And it says this in verse 14. That this false prophet orders all the inhabitants of the earth to set up an image in honor of the beast who had been wounded by the sword and yet lived. And the second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. That's what this false prophet is going to do. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. If you're not in Christ, people who aren't in Christ just messing about with the faith are going to be in big, big trouble. Because there's no mercy from this figure. There's no mercy from him whatsoever. They'll say, you get down and you worship this beast, you worship this image, or it's good night. So a lot of people will do that, but there is a lot who won't. A lot of people will turn to Christ during these 7-year tribulation, and they will be saved. In fact, the scriptures say that more are going to be saved through that 7 years than ever before. Can you imagine how bad it must be for people rather choose Jesus and give their life and get their head cut off than stay on the earth? It's going to be so bad. If you remember back, you see, the scripture is wonderful, isn't it? Because God knew from before time this was going to happen. And so he watches through the corridors of history and he helps us turn the pages of history and look at things that resemble what's coming. And so can we have a bit of quiet over there, please? I'm going to ask the kids just to be a bit quiet because this teaching is so important. So if you talk, just talk quietly. I'm fine with you being in here, but we really need to catch this. I won't be teaching this again, that's for certain. It's turned my head inside out. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Where were we? The image of the beast. So enforced worship. The image represents symbolic authority. If you think of Nebuchadnezzar, do you remember him? He got proud, full of himself, and so he made an image, a golden statue. And he said, everyone must come and worship this statue and glorify me. And whoever doesn't, he set up a big cave with a fire, a big pit in it. He said, whoever doesn't, going to throw me. And then we go on to the story of, what were the names? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who refused to bow. Amen. And they said, we will not bow. And they said, even if our God doesn't rescue us, we still trust in him. Amen. Amen. And so they refused. They were thrown into the fire. He turned the fire up 10 times hotter. So that even those who were throwing those three lads, Jewish lads, into the fire were burned alive. And when he looked in, then we get that song, there were four men in the fire. Amen. And he said, one like the Son of Man is walking in there with them. That's where that song comes from. There's another in the fire. Even when we have to go through the refiner's fire, hallelujah, Jesus is there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But on this point, he won't be there because this isn't for the saved. So whenever you have like the enemy at work, you'll always have idolatry. And that's what this is going to be. The world's going to be full of it. Idolatry, worshipping golden statues. And then it says that he's given breath, this image that's going to be created for Satan. He's going to be given breath. He's going to be given life and going to be able to talk. I think it's Psalm 35. The psalmist mocks people who worship idols because they can neither speak nor hear, or a bit like the Buddha statues. You know, they can't talk. They just sit there looking plump and in a nappy. But none of them talk. None of them listen. None of them can speak. And yet everything's offered to them every day. Pointless. Hallelujah. Psalm 35 talks about the fools who worship these. But this is different. This is going to talk. You see, everything's cranking up. It's almost like Moses and Pharaoh being played all over again. But this time it's with the nations and God. Hallelujah. And so we think, well, how is the enemy going to give this image, this statue, perhaps, a mouth to talk? How is it going to get life? Well, you're probably operating with part of that system now. It's called AI. You know, and I think it was about 2 years ago, someone connected with Elon Musk created this image in the sky, and you had like thousands and thousands of people just there, like taking pictures. It was like worship. It was like a ceremony going. It was so strange. And it's crazy, isn't it? The darkness of the mind without the light of Christ. The people get so deceived. It's desperately sad. Hallelujah. Can I have the next slide on, please, Joe? Should be the number. Sorry, the mark, yeah. The mark of the beast. Hallelujah. So the mark of the beast. The scriptures say this. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the same, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. We'll just look at the name of the beast first, okay? In Sweden, the US and Germany, and also here in the UK, there are people who have been implanted with microchips in their hand and in their head, voluntarily. Some of them were paid for it just to see how they could get everything right before they go mass. And they use it to get into buildings, get out of buildings. They use it to spend. Use it like you use your phone and your credit card. The idea is that your phone will disappear and you will become your phone. And the every bit of information about you will be on the chip, and the chip will be inside you and in your hand. And if you refuse it, which you must not take that, the scriptures say if you take that, you're lost forever. There's no coming back. And so if we're still here and we must not take it, and it says if you do not take it, you won't be able to buy or sell food. In China, I know of people in China where it's, you know, they're constantly watching them everywhere and people have the chip. And so what they try and do, because they don't want it, and so what they do is that they make an agreement in the families, will you take the chip for the family? And someone is like, you know, the sacrificial lamb for the family, so they will go and get the food that they can. Otherwise, they'll all starve. It's not implemented properly at this moment. These are all trials going on all around the world. So these guys who are taking the chip at the moment, I don't believe this is the same as what's coming. You know, I don't believe those who are saying, yeah, I'll take it for my family. I don't believe that's this scenario yet, but it's very close. So you will either be part of the world system or not part of it. And that's why you get groups of people at the moment who are setting up small communities in fields and that, and agriculture, going away from supermarkets and coming out of mainstream life, because they understand what's coming. They understand that the farmland is being destroyed constantly. See, why there's a lot of food and a lot of water, people can't be controlled. But if they can manipulate the fields and the crop and the agriculture so that food is scarce and water is scarce, they've got control of you. So it's all going the same route. Hallelujah. So you've got right hand, forehead, controlling your actions, your thoughts. They'll know everything that you think. So the neurological chip is being created at this moment and tested. Economic control, buying and selling, and global compliance. So this, for the first time in history, have now the technology to go global with this. Up to just 5 years ago, they couldn't do it. They didn't have the technology. But now they have got it. And there you go. I just wrote that at the bottom. The mark symbolizes loyalty and submission. Church, do never submit to the enemy, whatever the cost. You know, the scriptures say very clearly, don't fear the one who can destroy your body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul. Okay? And Paul said this, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we have a pain of death, but on the other side, we're rejoicing forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me, church?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We just got one more to go, okay? Two more to go, probably. I'm not sure, actually. Yeah, the number, please, Joan. So what I find fascinating is that people will spend months, even years, studying the Antichrist, studying the false prophet, studying this number. But they never spend months and years studying Jesus. There's like a fascination with this. And so I'm just going to keep it brief. And it's inconclusive at the moment. So I couldn't come to you and say, well, this is what I think is. There's just too many things out there. There's just no point. But I felt this. The number of his name, 666, represents letters of a certain language. That's what I believe. And I'll tell you why. Because at the bottom, I put that. In Pompeii, they found, in the ruins, they found some graffiti. And someone had written like a love graffiti to someone. He says, I love her whose name is 545. So he'd put the name, the letters, the numbers, what represented the letters of her name. So A would mean 1, B would mean 2, C would mean 3. Does that make sense? Some people are looking a bit confused. Right, so they used to do coded writing, okay? Sometimes to escape the authorities. And so instead of writing letters on something, they would write the numbers that correspond with the letters. So we have 26 letters in our alphabet. So you have A through to Z, and each one of those would represent a number, 1 to 26. In the Hebrew language, God designed the scriptures that it's even more than that. That every letter has a life number. And if you go study, it's amazing. I mean, for me, it's just like jumping into a pit that goes on forever and ever, and I just don't have time. But it's fascinating. So in Pompeii, somebody wrote, to the girl I love whose name is 545. So in our language, that would be what? Huh? E-D-E. E-D-E. But it wasn't in our language because it was in Pompeii. So it would have been Greek or Rome. Rome. Latin, probably, maybe. So I don't know what that is. You can go and work that out yourself, bit of homework. So there we go. So I wrote up there, this requires wisdom and discernment, not frantic, we've got to find out. We just got to discern as we go along. And whoever has this, there are so many systems set up with this 666 at the moment. Your sort code on your bank code, how many numbers that got? Six. If you have a look at most of government's numbers, you'll find that they're six. So it's already there. It's already in the making. It's almost like the scaffolding is there. They've just got to put the building up. So we must remain discerning. And if you do go and do a study on that and you find out what 66 means, let me know. There was a guy from Palestine who converted to Christianity. His name was Shabbat or something. Well, he believed that 666 wasn't actually numbers. He said the Greeks who wrote that didn't know what the numbers were, so they put it as numbers. He said, but if you turn that on its side, the Greek writing for 666, it's Arabic. And in Arabic, it says, Allah is God. That's interesting, isn't it? But I'll leave that one with you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Not everybody, not all the scholars go along with that. They say, oh, no, it's more Greek, you know. But I don't throw anything out at the moment. Just hold it loosely and wait for the Holy Spirit to bring the days that we can understand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we've had the beast rising, chapter 13, the beast rising. We've had his identity, his nature, his works, his mark, and his number. Watch out for those five things, okay? And I'll just reiterate, that man is alive today, beyond shadow of a doubt. I don't know what age, he might be in his 20s. I don't think he's very old, but he's alive, definitely. So let's finish with a prayer. If you've got any questions, ask Edwin. All right? Is everybody okay? All right. Please don't fear what's coming. Jesus said, don't fear, look up. When these things start to happen, look up. Your redemption is near, draw nigh. I'm even at the door, he said. So we can look up, he said, and rejoice.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray, Lord, I pray, God, that your word will land on our hearts correct, Lord. I pray, Father, that you give us minds to seek you out, Lord. That, Father, that we don't put you at the bottom of our list, because we might find ourselves at the bottom of your list when the time comes. But that, Lord, we walk in obedience. And that, Father, you haven't come to give us a better life. You come to save us from our sins. And as we accept that, Lord, then we get a better life. Just because we know you. Father God, that you wipe all the guilt away. Father God. So I pray, Lord, as we continue through the book of Revelation, that, Lord, grant, if it's myself or whoever is bringing the word for revelation, Lord, grant us wisdom. Help us, Lord, not to mislead anyone by mistake or otherwise. And that, Father, as your saints sitting in this room now, everyone born again, Lord, that, Father, keep us close to you. Keep our heads held high, Lord. Help us to keep looking up, not down. Help us to walk in the anointing. Help us to work the works of the ministry, Father. Help us to go out, reach the lost, because the time is short. Father God, help us take the message of Jesus out, Lord, to share it with our neighbours, our friends, our family, Lord, at work, wherever it is, God, for the time is short, Lord. And so, Father, I pray, God, that every word spoken will bear fruit that is of the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, we thank you because it says whoever hears or reads the book of Revelation will be blessed. And so, Lord, we thank you for this continuous blessing that we're receiving, oftentimes without even realizing it. Lord, as we go our way, I pray your blessing on everyone. I pray for your safety, your covering of safety over people, Lord. And just keep them close to you, Lord, walking close with you, God. And keep the joy of our salvation burning hot for you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 So do we want another song?